This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yes, it is. It is the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm Matt Jones. Joe Fortenbaugh is with me on a beautiful Friday. Well, it's a beautiful Friday here in Kentucky. I'm not sure if it's a beautiful Friday where you are, but I hope it is because it makes me happy, Joe, as does being with you. And that's what's most exciting here to get us ready for a big college football weekend. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests will join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Virginia Tech and North Carolina tonight. Virginia Tech has won their last three home openers when they were underdogs. They open as an underdog tonight to North Carolina. I'm taking the Hokies. Do you like Virginia Tech tonight, Joe, in the first game of the evening?
I like them in the first half plus three because this game has slow start written all over it for North Carolina. Number 10 ranked team in the country. Quarterback Sam Howell has Heisman Trophy, legitimate Heisman Trophy aspirations. You're going to go on the road against a conference opponent in a very hostile environment. Lane Stadium is going to be packed. Lane Stadium is going to be rocking. Enter Sandman, all that good stuff. And as a result, I think North Carolina could get off to a slow start. We saw it last night with Ohio State in Minnesota. They got off to a very slow start in the first half, had to get their sea legs under them, and then blew the doors off the Gophers in the second half. Same thing could happen tonight. Virginia Tech plus three in the first half is what I'd be thinking.
I have a theory about college football. In today's world where there's a lot of options for everything you do, right? You can be on your phone, you can watch Netflix, etc. The college towns that are in places where there's nothing to do except go to the game have the biggest advantage. And that is true about Blacksburg. They're nice people there, but there ain't nothing to do in Blacksburg. They're all going to be at the stadium tonight. They're all going to be raucous, and that will be one of the best environments in college football this evening. Make sure you turn it on. Now, the NFL season is 6 days away. We were talking in the first hour a little bit about games we were excited about. Joe picked the Steelers and the Bills. I picked the Chiefs and the Browns, but those aren't the only games over the course of the weekend. There's a lot of others. Those two games are the obvious ones that stick out for you and I. Is there another game that you look at in that first week and you say, you know what, this game's going to tell me a lot about either of these teams?
Yeah, and I mean, I'll start with the first game of the season, which is Dallas at Tampa Bay. I don't think there's going to be a lot we learn about Tampa Bay. I think we're going to get what we pretty much expect. All 22 starters from last year's Super Bowl team are back. Tom Brady is back. This is a team that last year broke slow from the gates, but once they came off the bye, they went 8-0 straight up, 6-2 against the spread the rest of the way out. And that includes four playoff games against really good football teams. They won those eight games, Matt, by an average of 14 points per game. As the season went on, they hit their stride offensively and defensively and truly did become the best team in the NFL. I think as they raise the banners next Thursday night, they are going to be a very formidable opponent for everybody. I don't think there's going to be much of a letdown when Brady's your leader. Plus, they have 100% vaccination status, so they eliminate some of the headaches that other teams might go through this season. Now, on the flip side, Dak Prescott. We haven't seen him since week five last year. That means he only played four-plus games with Mike McCarthy as his new head coach. There's still some chemistry to work on there. How's the offensive line going to look? How's Prescott going to look after zero snaps of meaningful football action in the preseason? What type of shape is Zeke Elliott in? Everyone says great, but is he going to be able to be the same guy we remember from a couple years ago? And what is that Dallas defense going to look like now that Dan Quinn's calling the shots over Mike Nolan, who was fired last year? A lot of questions for the Cowboys. I don't expect them to win, but if they compete in this game, I think it's a great sign for Dallas. If they get blown out in this game, I believe they go on the road to play the Chargers in week two. That's going to be a dangerous spot. And before you know it, America's team could find itself in an 0-2 hole.
Yeah, I'm going to use for mine one of those teams you mentioned, which is the Chargers. They play against our Washington football team in Washington. And here's why I like that game. Those are two teams that both sort of feel like they're better than people think. The Chargers, a lot of people say, might make a move. But the Washington football team could win that game or lose that game and still win the division. But if you're the Chargers, you're not making the playoffs without getting a wild card, and the wild card is going to be difficult to get in the AFC. And games like at Washington, Joe, are exactly the kind of games you have to win. You almost get a half game up on the field. You're playing on the road against a division leader, and then you can beat them. That's something that will give you a leg up. And I think if you're looking at, they're playing one of the easier divisions they could have drawn. And so this is a chance for them to kind of get just a little early in week one, a little jump up in the wild card race. Plus, I want to see how good is Justin Herbert now as we go to another year. So I really am looking forward to the Chargers. I never thought I'd say that, because I can't remember the last time I've really looked forward to a Chargers game, but I actually am looking forward to that one.
The Chargers are that team, and everybody out there has got one of these teams in some sport, some way or another, where every time you bet on them, they come up short, and every time you bet against them, they look like world beaters. You just can't figure them out. That's that team for me. The Chargers and the Falcons to an extent as well.
Yeah, Falcons. The Falcons are the epitome of that team.
So the Chargers are now going to begin year two with Justin Herbert, but as a promising young quarterback, he's on his second head coach in as many years, with Brandon Staley coming over from the LA Rams as last year's defensive coordinator. So what are you going to get? This is the last thing you want to do to a young quarterback, but they are healthy defensively. That is a huge matchup at Washington, because it's a non-conference opponent. It's on the road on the other side of the country. It's an early start time against an elite defense. Washington, make no mistake about it, they're going to be one of the better defenses in the NFL, and they have very competent quarterback play with Ryan Fitzpatrick leading the way. Take note that Ron Rivera, in week one for his career as a head coach between Carolina and Washington, his defense is giving up an average of just 15 points per game.
That's
they
amazing.
Might not win, but when they come out in week one, his defenses play very, very well against the opposition.
It's a game you can win, and it's a game at the end that you look back and go, that was a big one for us. Before it happens. Now, I'm going to give you some of the worst teams in the league in terms of predictions, and I want you to tell me which one of these teams do you think is the best. All right, which one of the bad teams is a team you're at least moderately interested in? Here are your choices. The Jets, the Bengals, Houston, the Jaguars. I'm not giving you the Raiders, although I would like to. Philadelphia, Detroit, and that's it. Those, to me, are the worst teams this year. Which one of those teams do you think, of the bad teams, will be the best teams?
There's a lot of bad football there. I gotta be completely honest. You just laid out a lot of bad football. I think Houston, obviously, like a lot of people believe, is going to be a complete train wreck. There's no reason to get behind them. I don't have high aspirations for Jacksonville, because you've got a rookie head coach, a rookie quarterback, and a suspect offensive line. That could cause some big problems for this team as the course of the season progresses. Philadelphia is tricky because I'm a born and raised Eagles fan, so I don't want to show
a lot of bias. They're the
worst
team in the league next to Houston. You know that, Joe. You can't let your bias get you.
I do believe it is going to be a very tough year for Eagles fans. There's some hope. They do have talent in the trenches on the offensive and defensive lines. They've dealt with a lot of injuries on the offensive line, but with Nick Sirianni as the head coach, I think there's a lot that needs to be proven before anyone can get behind this team to think they're going to be much of a threat. The Jets intrigue me, especially that week one game at Carolina with Sam Darnold going against his old team. I think Robert Saleh has all the makings to be a very good head coach. I covered him for 5 years when I was in San Francisco. The players love him. He's a rah-rah guy. He'll get you fired up. I think they've got some potential to make some noise down the line. But if you're the Jets, just follow the Buffalo blueprint with Josh Allen, right? Have some stability around your young quarterback. Have some stability with the offensive coordinator, with the head coach. Give them some weapons. Develop them. Be patient. And in 3 years, you could be like the Buffalo Bills. You could be a legitimate contender if you do this right. But you got to have some patience, and you got to take the necessary steps to get there.
You still didn't mention the answer to the question, which is the Cincinnati Bengals. They are the team that will be the best of that group. They're going to take a step up with Joe Burrow. I don't think they're going to be good. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but they're going to upset somebody. They're going to get at least one win where you look and go, oh, I can't believe they won that game. They'll probably win like against Cleveland or something like that. And then you say, hey, that team is on the right path. Joe Burrow gets a signature win this year, so that's why I'm taking the Bengals. It's now time to go to the Goodyear Hotline. Mina Kimes, NFL analyst, writer, podcast host, just someone, a renaissance woman in all ways. Mina, appreciate the time. We'll start with you. My upset team, my sort of sleeper team of the year, is Joe's overrated team of the year, and it's your team, the Seattle Seahawks. Who's right, me or him?
I would say, gosh, this is always tough because I never want to sound like a homer. I wouldn't say that they're overrated, but I wouldn't say they're a sleeper either. So can I say both y'all are wrong?
That's a tough answer. Are they not a sleeper because you think they are good, or are you not a sleeper because you don't think they're very good?
No, I like our FPI has them as a top FPI index. Pardon me, not the ESPN's Football Power Index has them as a top 10 team. I think most people see them as a playoff team. Now Vegas has San Francisco winning the division last I saw, which I thought was a little bit surprising. But the NFC West is such a challenging division in terms of, you know, having so many good teams. To me, it's kind of hard to gauge which of those teams is going to come out on top. I think it's going to be a little bit random. I personally have the Rams, but I do see Seattle as a playoff team. Expect the offense to be as explosive as ever, and a pass rush that's going to be improved from last year.
Mina, staying out west, you just wrote a fascinating piece on Chargers second-year quarterback Justin Herbert. Learned a lot throughout the process. For those who haven't read it, what was the most surprising revelation as you got to know Justin?
You know, I would say the interesting thing about being around Justin was actually not being around Justin. It was being around his teammates and seeing how much they've already kind of rallied behind him and love him and have responded to him, which, as he argues himself, is kind of how he thinks he gauged leadership, not by being loud or extrovert or a big personality. And I had a great conversation with Keenan Allen about the difference between playing between him and Philip Rivers, who Allen played most of his career with, both from a football standpoint and a personality standpoint. And what really came across to me was just how much Allen believes in Herbert and his talent.
Talking to Mina Kimes, NFL analyst and writer here for ESPN on the Max Kellerman Show. Matt Jones, Joe Fortenbaugh filling in. Cam Newton's been a big topic of discussion since he got cut. But today, Jeff Darlington said that Cam Newton won't get a job in the league now unless he gets vaccinated. A, do you agree with that statement? And B, let's say that statement is true. Do you think that's understandable, and do you think that's okay for the league to sort of do it like that?
I think it definitely makes sense, hearing it. I mean, it is a little bit surprising. You know, what we've seen across the league is that the players who are unvaccinated tend to be players who are entrenched starters and have leverage. And I believe that implies that Cam Newton doesn't right now. And it's based on, and this is to answer your point question about kind of whether I think it makes sense, it's based on the rules that the NFL Players Association and the NFL agreed to, which is basically if you are unvaccinated and you test positive, you're going to miss a game. You're out for 10 days at least, right? And you can see why NFL teams, coaches, GMs don't want to invite that uncertainty into their locker room. They didn't mandate vaccines, but it's kind of a mandate without mandating, and I think it makes a lot of sense.
With Cam Newton out of New England, that clears the runway for Mac Jones to make his first career start in his first career opportunity, week one against the Miami Dolphins. It should be a tremendous football game, given what both two teams are bringing to the table. What do you think the ceiling for New England is this year with Mac Jones at quarterback? Maybe a Super Bowl contender, but could you see them unseating Buffalo as the top team in the division?
You know, I don't see them as being better than Buffalo. I do see them as a playoff team. In large part because I think the defense is so talented and they've brought in so much talent and brought back so much talent. The loss of Stephon Gilmore for the first half of the season does hurt, but I think that front seven in New England should be really strong. I will say, though, as wonderful of a preseason as Mac Jones had, and I think he looked as advertised. I mean, he played a lot like he did in Alabama in terms of the accuracy, decisiveness, confidence. He has not faced a defense like Miami's, and that will present some challenges to him where you might see him taking a little bit more sacks and having a little bit harder of a time pre-snap than, or probably post-snap, than you did in the preseason.
Mina Kimes, I all right, so here's the thing. As a lifelong Kentucky fan, I don't trust my judgment on a team I love because you go with your heart instead of your head, so I don't ever bet on Kentucky games. And I'm getting like that with the Chicago Bears. I'm getting to the point that I don't trust my own judgment. So I trust yours. So here's my question. To me, it's a no-brainer that Justin Fields should be the quarterback, that the whole decision to play Andy Dalton at all really is kind of a waste of time. Maybe one game so he doesn't get beat up on Sunday night against the Rams. But do you agree with me, or do you understand the Andy Dalton theory?
No, I mean, anyone with eyes can see that Justin Fields gives them a better chance to win. You don't have to question your biases or what you're seeing. But I think the case for starting Dalton is what you just outlined. It's not one that I agree with, by the way, but the logic would be that the Bears' offensive line is so bad that you want to give them... Because, look, it's not about the defense. People have said, oh, you don't want to feed Justin Fields to Aaron Donald. He's going to play a ton of terrifying pass rushers. They got Myles Garrett in week three. They got the Steeler, you know. But the hope, I think, in Chicago is that this offensive line, which is bringing guys in, Jason Peters came in at the last minute, and Jermaine Ifedi at the right tackle has come back from injury, that they can gel a little bit. And I don't know if that's true, and I don't agree with it. But I suspect Justin Fields will be starting sooner rather than later.
How competitive do you see the opening game of the season between the Cowboys and the Buccaneers being? Tampa's bringing back all 22 starters from last year's Super Bowl team. Dak Prescott hasn't taken a meaningful snap since week five last season. Do you see the Cowboys hanging tight, possibly winning that game?
I don't think they'll win. I mean, I think the last I saw, the Bucs were favored by about 7.5. I thought that was pretty accurate. The optimistic case for Dallas, not only in this game but generally this season, is that the offense will be so explosive that they can compensate for a defense that's riddled with issues. And I think that's going to be true in a lot of games. Unfortunately, I think Tampa Bay is the deepest roster in the NFL. And on the other side of the football, I mean, just that offense against the Dallas defense is not going to be pretty.
Mina Kimes, we will get you out of here with this one, but I am very pessimistic about the Cleveland Browns. Not to be good. I think they'll be
really
fine. Well, here's why. I don't understand this idea that somehow they're a Super Bowl contender. To me, they're not nearly on the level of the other teams, and they went 11-5 last year but had an overall negative point differential, which is almost impossible to do when you win six more games than you lost. I think that stuff evens out over time, and I think that everybody is jumping the gun, acting like they're the second or even third best team in the AFC. Am I wrong?
I think you're absolutely right that that sort of point differential is very unusual for a team to win as many games as they did, and it does tend to be predictive. We've seen this time and time again of regression. I think the optimistic case, I keep saying the optimistic case, I guess I'm in a good mood. The case that Cleveland might defy that centers around some of the additions they made on defense, in particular in the secondary. But I still believe Baltimore, which is facing some injury issues of their own, I think that they're a better football team, and they are my pick to win the AFC North. That said, I think Cleveland is a playoff team. I agree with you, though. I don't think they're one of the two or three best teams in the conference.
Mina Kimes, always enjoyable, great at everything she does. Thank you very much for your time.
Good talking to you guys. Bye.
Thank you. There you go. The Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by Samsung Galaxy. If you get ready for the Samsung Galaxy Z Flip 3 5G and Z Fold 3 5G, then you'll be ready for life. Pre-order now at Samsung.com. That's a lot of words. Samsung Galaxy Z Flip 3 5G. That sounds that many words, Joe, that has to be an amazing phone.
And that is why we have given you the opportunity to present that to everyone. A wordsmith in your own right, Mr.
Jones. I hope they get me one, because I'm really excited about it just seeing it on the way. Now, there's a lot going on in all of sports, including a massive Dodgers-Giants series this weekend. Quickly, do you think the Dodgers stay ahead of the Giants?
Yeah, the Giants have had a tremendous season, but this is where the regression to the mean of a 162-game season comes into play, because they're built to win, but not at the frequency with which the Dodgers are winning.
Yeah. I'm just sitting there going, both of those teams, it's such a big differential if you get to the division win or not, because you're down to one game, a one-game playoff against – you could have a one-game playoff against the Padres. They pitch Snell and Tatis hits home runs, and you're in trouble, you know,
You could be the Giants and finish with the second best record in baseball and end up playing one more game than the Miami Marlins, one more game than the Arizona Diamondbacks. Think about that.
That doesn't feel totally fair to me, but that's the system, and that's what you have to do. Did you know the arrow in Amazon's logo represents A to Z? Well, maybe the My Computer Career logo should represent unemployed to employed. Ryan was out of work. That was sad. But then he started classes in March, and in September he started his IT career. And now Ryan's working for Amazon. And if you see Ryan right now, he's got a big old smile on his face. He's making more money than he ever thought possible. Congrats to you, Ryan. And here's your prime opportunity to go to mycomputercareer.edu and be like Ryan. You can start your new life as an IT pro with a career evaluation, and you can be through in as little as 4 months. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. No Doubt is next. We tell you everything that is No Doubt this weekend here on the Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It is the Max Kellerman Show. I'm Matt Jones, Joe Fortenbaugh. We are in for Max on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80. Getting ready for week one of the college football season. You got Alabama and Miami. You got Georgia and Clemson. You got LSU, which is going to stomp UCLA and make Joe Fortenbaugh cry. You got big games like Kentucky, Louisiana, Monroe. Kentucky's a 31-point favorite. You got the Cats covering there, Joe, against Terry Bowden.
Big game against Missouri on deck. So if I'm Kentucky, I wouldn't be surprised if it's what we saw from UCLA last week against Hawaii. Get up big, handle your business, and get the starters out of the game late so you don't risk any injury. You don't need to worry about covering this spread. Worry about winning the game, escaping healthy, and turning your attention to Missouri.
There you go. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You know, C.J. Stroud was in the zone last night. He tossed 4 touchdowns for Ohio State. But In the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No Doubt.
That's right, there is No Doubt. Raj, let us hear it.
All right, guys, let me tell you this. We got a birthday in the house. We love birthdays in this show. Charlie Sheen turns 56 today. But my thing with y'all is, do you miss Charlie Sheen being in the news all the time? Remember back on the day on TMZ, you always saw him into something? What do you say?
Nah, because I sort of felt like it was always a little sad. Like, I felt like there was a little bit of, like, voyeurism where we're kind of laughing at somebody with problems. But if he ever – I did say he's been in a lot of good movies. So for somebody that's got a crazy life, his actual work is pretty good. But I'm going to say, nah, I moved on from Charlie Sheen. I'm into many, much more crazy people now.
Oh, no doubt on my end. When it comes to Charlie Sheen, he was great for taking our attention away from the serious things happening in the world. You don't have to agree with Charlie Sheen. You don't have to like Charlie Sheen. You don't have to like the way he lives his life. But when you see him on TV talking about tiger blood and winning, you're not thinking about some of the really serious, really depressing issues that are taking place around the world today. And every now and again, it's okay to have that reprieve from the really heavy stuff that can weigh people down time and time again. So, yeah, I miss Charlie Sheen because every now and again, he's good for giving us a distraction.
Doesn't that feel right. Like so long ago, though, when we were talking about Tiger Blood and Charlie? That seems like a different lifetime. All right, what's next?
Hey, you heard Flores have to give his quarterback Tua a vote of confidence earlier this week. So that means the Dolphins really want to move on from Tua.
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, look, they want Tua to be good. That's what they want. And the question is, this is a great year for Miami because they'll know at the end of this year whether he's good or not. The worst thing for a quarterback is to get into a year and they're hurt sometimes and you never really know. And the indecision is difficult. In this case, they're going to know. He's going to play this year. We'll see if he's good. He's going against other quarterbacks, Mac Jones and Zach Wilson, in his division. If he's not better than those guys while he already has experience, they'll know, Joe. They don't have the guy.
No doubt. Completely disagree with you on this one.
Doubt.
There have been so much smoke around this team for the last 2 years regarding interest in Deshaun Watson or whether or not Tua is the guy. Miami knows they blew it by not taking Justin Herbert. They know they blew it. So now the question is, how long do they want to see this Tua Tagovailoa thing out? And the biggest problem isn't that he was a rookie who struggled at times. Rookies are expected to struggle at times. He came out at the end of last season and said he didn't really know the playbook. That is your job. To know the playbook. You are a rookie, top 5 pick. You are going to be the franchise quarterback. And at the end of the season, it turns out you just didn't really know the playbook. That's the only thing you need to know. Know the playbook at the very least. I think that is highly alarming to the front office. And I think that's why we keep hearing Deshaun Watson's name creeping up time and time again.
If it makes him feel any better, though, I don't know the Miami playbook either. So I don't feel like you can completely go at him. But I do think they're giving him a shot this year. I think he's going to have minor success.
That means Flores is about to give you the vote of confidence as well. Hey, it's National Bowling League today. You guys still down to put back a few and bowl every now and again?
No doubt. Bowling is a great sport for not really being a sport. Like, it's the one thing everybody can do. The ball is just heavy enough that every person can pick it up. You don't have to have any real ability. You can also drink during it. You can eat. You know, there's an obvious number where you're terrible if you don't hit, which is like 100. I mean, 200's really good. But, like, if you just don't even care. And then it's just a fun thing to do. So I'm a no-doubter when it comes to bowling. I actually think as a society, Joe, we don't bowl enough.
Agreed. No doubt as well on this one. For someone like myself, there are environments I can place myself and be extremely uncomfortable looking around, realizing I don't size up. The dance floor of any wedding or nightclub is a place Joe Fortenball does not belong. Muscle Beach in Venice is not a place Joe Fortenball belongs. Anywhere without a shirt is not a place Joe Fortenball belongs. But you put me in a bowling alley and you size me up against the rest of the people that are in there, I belong. I fit in. I got the body type. I might not have the game, but I got the body type for the bowling alley.
Oh, that's right. Know your role. Hey, real quick, let's listen to Buster Olney, our friend on the Dodgers and Giants.
It feels like the Dodgers have a three-game lead because of all that momentum that they built since they made that trade just before the deadline for Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. They are gathering momentum, and they are clearly the favorite now to win the World Series. Look, the Giants have been, to me, the best story in baseball this year, the most surprising team. Nobody thought that they would contend this year. They hit a ton of home runs. It's a team, as Joe Girardi, the Phillies manager, said, seems to have an answer for every matchup. But the Dodgers caught them, and we'll see this weekend if they can actually pass them in this three-game series.
So this weekend's Dodgers versus Giants series will decide the NL West.
I'm going to say nah, just because I think both teams can still make it, even if they – you just don't want to get swept here, Joe. Whoever wins this has a leg up. Just don't get swept. So it's nah with a caveat of don't get swept. That's the key here for this weekend.
I'm going to go with nah, only because this thing's already been decided. It doesn't matter that they're close in the standings. The Giants have had a remarkable year. They've put up some big numbers, and in any other division, they would be a marquee story. The problem for the Giants is that they're in the NL West. The Dodgers are the best lineup, best rotation, and they are inevitably not only going to take the lead like they did, but they're going to run away with this thing down the stretch, and the Giants are going to be left trying to figure it out through the wild card.
There you go. That was no doubt here on the Max Kellerman Show.
All of
these teams, though, are just going to ultimately be sad when the Cincinnati Reds take the whole thing. But if you want to see that series, Sunday Night Baseball is on ESPN Radio. It's the Dodgers and the Giants from San Francisco, Sunday at 7 on ESPN Radio on the app. And Sunday Night Baseball Preview is brought to you by Samsung Galaxy. Shop the impressive Samsung Galaxy 5 Fold 3 5G and Z Flip 3 5G at Samsung.com. Coming up last night, a couple huge bad beats occurred back to back. But first, according to Forbes, gyms, stores, and more are set to go on an epic hiring spree to meet up the pent-up demand for all services. Businesses reopen means millions of jobs are going to need to be filled. So who's going to fill them? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology is so effective, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within a day. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman, K-E-L-L-E-R-M-A-N. You got to get a job with ZipRecruiter. You also got to be able to get your bets right, and twice people got their hearts broken last night. That's next here on the Max Kellerman Show.
The beginning of the season, oh man, I want to be in that moment. It's just one of them things where you say, man, I wish I had that right now.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Mike Greenberg, and I'm ready.
This is Mina Kimes, and you know my Seahawks are ready.
This is Matthew Berry. The Texas A&M Aggies are ready.
This is Ryan McGee, and I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off with Keyshawn, J. Will, and now Max Kellerman. Starting Tuesday at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Counting crows. You know, one time I actually met Adam Duritz, and he ended up spending 3 hours with me on the radio talking sports, Joe. It was a great day.
How about that? You want something new every day, nice I guess guy. They say.
Yeah, well, he didn't want to. He said he'd come on as long as I didn't talk about music. So I didn't talk to him about music. I only talked to him about sports, and he stayed for hours. Invited me to his concert. I hung out with him backstage. He shouted me out from the stage. Still one of my best days.
And now
University
you're stuck with
Joe. University of California grad, right?
That's all he wanted to talk about. He wanted to talk about Cal. He wanted to talk about all the Cal basketball players and football players, Sharif Abdur-Rahim, Jason Kidd, all that stuff. It was fun. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80, Matt Jones and Joe Fortenbaugh. Max Kellerman on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. We're also brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear is more driven. Last night, someone placed a $220,000 bet, and they lost in a painful way, Joe. I was watching this game. I actually had money going the other way. It was Tennessee Bowling Green. Tennessee's been bad for years. New coach Josh Heupel. They were a 35.5-point favorite against Bowling Green. Tennessee had the ball, 2 minutes to go. Most people at that point, Joe, just kneel and say, you know what, we're up 32. Let's just call it a day. But Tennessee, for reasons I don't know, decided we're driving down the field and we're going to try to score. They did a no-huddle offense. They tried to play quick. And it looked like they were going to score and cover the 35.5. Instead, they fumbled it inside the 10-yard line and ended up losing the game by 32 after the bad beat. It was terrible. It was good for me because I won with the Bowling Green cover, but it was terrible for this guy who bet $220,000 on the Vols to cover. Joe, do you feel sorry for him? Or if you're the kind of guy stupid enough to bet $220,000 on the Vols, you deserve it.
I mean, if you've got $220K to bet on Tennessee, you're probably doing all right in life, so I don't really have to sit here and feel too bad for you that you were able to take that shot. That was one of the sharper sides with yesterday's action. There was a lot of money that came in late on Tennessee for good reason. The thought process was twofold. Number one, Bowling Green is a terrible football team. But number two, the start of the Josh Heupel era, he wants to play fast, he wants to score points, and the mindset was that Tennessee was going to go out there and stick it to these guys so that they could send a message that the Vols are turning the corner and beginning the long, arduous road back to respectability. And the good news was that they jumped out 14-0 right off the gate. Like, right out of the gate, Tennessee was up 14-0. They shouldn't have had a problem covering that game. And then Tennessee did what Tennessee does, and that's play Tennessee football, and ultimately they couldn't get it done at the end. Shame on them for not being able to cover that number, because Bowling Green is a lousy football team.
They are, but I could have told you. You will always be disappointed in life when you bet on Tennessee in anything, but certainly in football. They've been disappointing for 15 years. Tennessee is – it's just sadness. Never – Tennessee could be playing Bishop Sycamore, and I'm not giving away 35.5 points for the Vols, Joe. There are some teams you just know you don't give that kind of amount with.
Yeah, you got to be careful with them. You really do. And you got to be careful if you're going to lay a lot of points in any of these games this weekend in which a good team might be in a matchup with someone a week before a major matchup. For example, yes. Look at Oregon. Oregon's going to lay 20.5 against the Fresno State team that had a nice win last week. Fresno State can run the football. Fresno State is going to come at Oregon in this game, and Oregon's laying 20.5 points with, oh, by the way, Ohio State on deck. So it wouldn't surprise me if Oregon State gets up big, if they throttle back late in the second half, get the starters out of the game, or perhaps Fresno makes it competitive like Minnesota did for a while against Ohio State and puts themselves in range to cover that spread. Those are the things you want to keep an eye on week one college football.
I'll give you another one. This is something I've learned over the years. Look for coaches who are friends with the coach of the other team, and they did them a favor scheduling the game. So if you go back and look over the years when John Calipari plays against a team coached by one of his former assistants, I mean a bad team, not a team that's like good enough that could compete, they never cover the spread because he doesn't want to embarrass the guy. So if you know the personal relationships, that's also a Saban thing too. Saban has some guys that he really likes. If you can know what those relationships are, especially in these huge spread games, I actually think that helps in these week one, two, and three contests.
So here's one for you. Pittsburgh and UMass. UMass catching 38 points against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh offensive coordinator Mark Whipple, I believe, coached UMass on two separate occasions. They're going to want to put some points up in this game, but I don't think he's going to want to stick it to his former program like that. Wouldn't be surprising in the least if UMass found a way to cover that number.
I love that. I'm betting that because you gave me the fact. When you do that sort of mentor protege thing, they're not going to try to crush him, especially if the protege just got the job. They don't want to embarrass him right then and get him off to a bad start. UMass is a very good bet. Joe, tune into an NL West battle Sunday. The Giants host the Dodgers, presented by Samsung Galaxy. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, 7 p.m. on ESPN. You got Georgia or Clemson? Quickly.
Under 51 points. If I'm betting the side, I would take Georgia plus the points. I think they're capable of springing the upset.
I'm taking Georgia and the under as well. I think that's the way to play the game. This has been the Max Kellerman Show. Matt Jones, Joe Fortenbaugh, back to normal next week. This has been Max Kellerman.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.